Good afternoon, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic Bee Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and you can also visit our website at www.theorganicbee.com. If you have any questions for our guests, there are many ways you can contact the show. You can post a question on our wall on Facebook, Skype us, send us a tweet on Twitter to @TheOrganicView, or you can contact me directly at June Stoyer. If you'd like to be on the show or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please contact us at questions@TheOrganicView.com. On today's show, I have the pleasure of welcoming back one of my favorite guests, Susan Fox, who is otherwise known in the rose community as Gaga. She's also the founder of Gaga's Garden and is an award-winning rosarian and one of the most enjoyable people to talk to about roses. Clearly, her nickname is appropriate as she is Gaga about roses. So I'd like to welcome back to the show Susan Fox. Good afternoon, Susan, and welcome back to the show. So nice to have you.
Good afternoon, June. How are you this beautiful afternoon?
Oh, fantastic. It's always wonderful to talk to you anytime about roses. And I know that for people that are just discovering all of your work, I'm sure that they will be just as smitten with you as I am. I just love seeing the pictures and everything that you've been doing. And today's subject, which is using roses to create a tapestry of color in the garden, is one that I am sure many people will appreciate, because I think roses are often misunderstood because people think that they require too much work and too much effort. But there are many people such as yourself that truly understand why roses have such a special place in your garden. But before we begin, Susan, can you share with our audience a little bit about yourself and how you became interested in rose gardening?
I first became interested in rose gardening because of my mother. My mother had a rose garden in northern Illinois, and we moved back into her home. She, after my father passed on, we moved into our home, and it was 1 mile from Lake Michigan, and we had 30 roses. And I had to learn how to take care of this beautiful rose garden. And she knew a lot about taking care of roses and taught me what she knew, and I was determined to learn everything that I could. So I went to, there was a rose garden in Libertyville, Illinois, and the Libertyville Men's Garden Club was in charge of taking care of it. So I went to the Libertyville Men's Garden Club, who also were members of the Northern Illinois Rose Society, and became a member, and they taught me everything about growing roses. And I then became the treasurer of the Rose Society, and a lot of the people that were members would come to the garden. They became friends of both my husband, my mother. We enjoyed a lot of social events, and they were happy to teach me everything that they could. There was a gentleman that called himself an octogenarian rosarian. He's since passed. His name was Len Author. And they encouraged me to show roses, which is another thing that I would tell your viewing audience is a great deal of fun, but it's where you can learn roses that you might want to have in your garden and see beautiful roses and meet new friends. So that's really, if you want to learn about roses, then look up in your local area. Just go to Google and or go to ars.org to find out what your local Rose Society is. And people are committed to help you learn all about roses at your local Rose Societies. But that's really how I started. First, let's just say my mother, then the Libertyville Men's Garden Club, and then they encouraged me to show roses. And I went from there. I won, when I first entered a rose show, I entered as a novice. I won a lot of ribbons, I thought, you know, a lot of people can't come to my garden, so I'll take roses to the rose show. And it was so much fun. And once you win your first ribbon, I went from there and I ended up winning national, at a national convention. I won the best, I won a trophy for the best climber, which I just happen to have a picture here. This was for Tempo, which is a climber. Can you see it? I don't know if you can see
it. Wow, that is beautiful.
You know, they took this picture against a red matting, but, you know, my son picked up the stem that day, and, you know, there's certain rules when you show a rose. You polish the leaves with your fingers to bring up the perfect, I bet, you know, most people wouldn't even realize, but if you take even the oils from your finger and start polishing leaves, and roses are judged, rose judges will judge them by symmetry and the way they open and form. I mean, you will learn so much by going to a rose show, and they're free. So I would encourage you can check, you know, right in your local communities, where's there a rose show? And libraries, a lot of rosarians put in shows. So that's a long answer to your question, but
well, thank you, and I agree with you. Anytime that you go to any trade event, you have an opportunity to connect with all sorts of people that do different things that are equally important in order to have such a beautiful garden, whether you're doing it for show or for your own private pleasure. Susan, when it comes to growing roses, based upon your experience, why do some people grow roses while others deliberately avoid them?
You know, I think they just, perhaps there's been some misperception that that roses are difficult, but when discussing roses with people who, I have not talked to a single person that has approached me about a rose garden or having a rose garden that didn't want a rose garden, but the first thing that they want to discuss is color. And so when they start planning their rose garden, the first thing that they talk about is the color of the roses, and it's very important to them that they begin by choosing the color and the design of their roses. So, and also they, again, the perception is that it's difficult. And, you know, it's really, I joke about it and I say, you know, roses aren't difficult. People are. There's just a few things that they might need. You know, there's a lot of discussion. If you read about roses, you might hear that, oh, they're difficult or there's things that need to be done. But I say that people love gardening. They love to get outside. I've gone to many, many garden shows, and people are passionate about getting out in the yard and doing things. I think the word that I like to use is minimal care. So people like to get out and do things in the yard, and so I think they just want to know what are the few things they need to do with roses. So if they know it, they will get out there and do it. And there's better minimal care roses coming out every day. So choose the colors that you want. Find some minimal care roses and plan your garden, and then follow the instructions on planting them. And I think that really I found very few people that did not really say that they wanted a rose garden. And it's really pretty easy to put one in. So if you want a rose garden, you can have one, and with minimal care.
Like other flowers that can be found in a garden, roses in particular hold memories that can often be a little difficult for some folks, especially when it comes to a particular color rose. Can you explain how the colors influence emotion in people.
I wrote a post or an article about, it was actually around Valentine's Day that I wrote about the meanings of particular colors with roses, because some people don't know it, about what actual meanings are connected to flowers. But for instance, red roses are particularly associated with passion, the red, the deep oranges. And I know that around Mother's Day, if you wear a corsage, my mother told me that if you wore a white corsage, that it meant that your mother was passed. So there are different meanings, and there are flowers that mean a lot to us. For instance, I've talked to many people that buy a rose. If they go to a garden center, they buy the rose based on the emotion that it meant to them when they were growing up. I hear this when my garden was featured on a garden walk. Most of the comments were meant that I heard were references to, this was my mother's favorite rose. I really am looking for this rose because when I was growing up, my grandmother had this rose. There are emotions tied to roses or by names of roses. And also fragrance triggers. So often people will stop and smell a rose and say, this takes me back to the time when I was a child. This means just so much to me because my mother or my aunt or my grandmother. So roses can definitely bring about memory triggers because they're special to you because of the people that you associate with, the mothers, grandmothers, fathers, and most often very, very good memories. Or I had a friend that said when she planned her garden, she didn't want a single red rose. And I thought that was very unusual because red roses are usually very popular. And it turned out that her family had owned a funeral home, and red roses did not like red roses. So we planned her entire garden. There's so many oranges and corals, and so she just didn't care for red roses. So colors, just like fragrance, can have a great deal of meaning to people. So, and a lot of people love white roses or pink, so you can choose your garden based on color. And I happen to like red roses next to oranges, red roses next to, not oranges, but red roses next to yellows. I think it's just beautiful. So I plan the garden by certain colors next to other colors because of the way they look. And it just lays out beautifully in the way it looks at night, the way the colors reflect.
Thank you. That's an excellent point. Susan, can you explain to our audience about the different blooming periods that specific roses have throughout the season? Because I don't think that for the novices, they quite understand that you can have blooming roses all throughout the season.
There was a Dr. Tony Liberto did a presentation on old garden roses, and old garden roses bloom some of them just bloom once a year, some maybe twice a year. And some of them are, I'm not an expert on old garden roses. He happens to be, and I did, on my website, there's a article that I wrote with all of the information on old garden roses and their bloom cycle. So, but some old garden roses that are famous for the headiest fragrance, they will bloom earliest in the spring. So if you want roses that bloom very, very early, you would want some of the old garden roses, but the hybrid roses bloom all year long. So if you are deadheading, meaning cutting off your spent blooms, your roses are going to perpetually bloom. So they're just going to continue to bloom all summer. And they bloom all the way into, I was so amazed because I had a rose called Rosie O'Donnell that won Christmas Eve. It was blooming. It was very tall. I took a tape measure. I think it was, maybe 10 feet tall, and it was in the window. And so I wrote a post called Room with a View, because on Christmas Eve it was in Texas, but it was perfect. And it had been, roses will survive like 3 days of 23 degrees. So they will continue into the winter. You know, they'll be going into dormant state, but you will have roses that will continue to bloom very late in the year. So you could have roses all year long, as long as you're deadheading. So that's why what is so wonderful, I know we talk about the roses being a tapestry of color. As a bud, when a rose is first opening, it's one color. It might be just a very, very deep, deep color, but temperature affects the color of your rose. So if you're in a cool temperature, a rose can really hold its color. But for instance, in Texas, if you were in a very, very hot temperature, it would cause your rose to open very, very quickly, and the heat would bleach out the color. So a rose garden is a tapestry of color because it changes every day. It's just as if it's a painting that's changing color. Even within a very same day, it's changing. Certain roses are meant to change on the very same bush. I had a rose called Rio Samba that the rose itself was from orange to coral to pink. So a rose garden is just never boring. It's just constantly changing. So you can just take a stroll and expect to see something different every time you take a stroll in the rose garden. It's just intriguing to watch the changes.
Thank you. What varieties do you recommend for the more experienced growers as well as for the newbies?
You know, June, it is really a matter of taste, but the hybrid teas will throw a single stem, which takes a little bit longer, you know, for your rose, because you're growing a tall single stem roses. But if you just love a rose garden I would recommend, I just talk about it, and many people have heard that I love Floribundas for their profusion of bloom and their rapid bloom cycle. So I just really like Floribundas. And right now, there are many minimal care Floribundas that are coming out that are they're good roses. They have lots of blooms, and they're very showy roses. So if you like to enjoy a rose garden with lots of blooms, you know, they're showy, and easy care, I think Floribundas are a good choice. So if you're new to rose gardening and you want to find a rose that's easy care, and of course, I know many people know knockouts. I think you just posted the knockouts, which was named for the creator, Bill Radler. It's called Radler. And I think you just posted it on your site. It's really pretty. It shows I've got it in the backyard with the hill showing. And, you know, that if there is one rose that it's about as minimal care as you get. You know, it's a very good, it's a good rose. So,
say if somebody doesn't have a lot of property or lives in an apartment where basically all they have is minimal sunlight, say either on windowsills or even a fire escape, they're living in a city. Are there any roses that can be grown in containers that you can recommend?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question. I just love to put roses in pots. They do beautifully in containers. Some people I knew, I just ran into him in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and I've known him since Chicago when I won that national trophy. His name is Dr. Andy Plaz, and he has won so many awards, and he grew roses in pots. He didn't have a lot of sunlight, so he would move his roses where the sun was, in pots. So I like miniature roses. Just think, you can buy miniature roses and put them in your on your windowsill. And as I said, they're perennials. So I've put my just my little miniatures in a pot and leave them out all winter in the pot. And a lot of people would think, well, and now I'm in Illinois and I left my miniatures in. I have a brick, you know, brick pot, what, not pot, but, you know, it's a brick,
windowsill?
Yeah, you know, brick, not really a windowsill, but a whole potted,
I understand. Potted. Yeah.
And I decided instead of just putting in annuals, because we spend a lot of money on annuals, and I thought, you know, I'm going to replace annuals instead of putting in my usual annuals. I think I'm going to put in all miniatures. So I took out the annuals and I put in, and I just leave them and they come back every year. So if you want to the variety, again, if you want a tapestry of color, and they have such adorable names. I mean, if you go through miniatures, they have names like Teddy Bear and Giggles and Black Jade and. I mean, if you want to have
Do they have one named Gaga?
No, but wouldn't that be great? You know, I know she's on the board with the American Rose Society. Her name is Diane Summers, and she's won. I wrote about her, and she's won. And she has, it is a wonderful post. So it's not about me writing about what to do to Rose. To raise a rose garden, because I respect anyone who is an expert in growing roses in the north. She's in Wisconsin, so Diane Summers, and she wrote about, you know, how to raise roses in the north. And just think, she goes around to libraries and does seminars on how to grow roses, and she's won more awards for growing miniature roses. But there, also there's a hybridizer who he named a miniature for his mother, but it's named Joy. It's just one of the most beautiful roses. Look, it's on the cover of my favorites. I call this my Bible. Do you see this little book right here? For my Bible,
yes.
For roses. This is the American Rose Society Handbook for Selecting Roses, and I do take it with me. It rates roses for a good reason on how they perform, on whether they're really a good rose. So when I'm going to buy a rose, I look at it. It's like 5 through 10, and believe me, that's for a good reason. I've bought like a 6, and I'm like, you know, I wonder why it's a 6. Well, there's a really good reason. It usually doesn't perform. Like I just opened to Marilyn Monroe, which is a hybrid tea. It says 7.9. That is a really good rose. You know, it's for sale right now. But the miniatures, Joy, this guy hybridized Joy. You see it on the cover? Oh, it is the most wonderful rose. His name is David. I wrote about him. David, why does his name escape me? On Twitter, his name is RoseGuy62. Now everybody can follow him. Thoroughbred Roses is his, you can find him on Twitter, Thoroughbred Roses. And here he named all of his roses for horses, but he decided he had such an important rose that won the ARS winner that he should name it. It was so important, he should name it something different, and he named it for his mother. I thought, isn't that the most beautiful story? But when you start planting miniatures in containers, they make it to the winter. They're on their own root system. They're hardy. You see, I'm so passionate about roses. If I get going on something, I'm just like, lost.
Well, that's why they call you Gaga.
So miniatures are perennials. So I got so tired. My husband built this greenhouse. I had a post call. We built a greenhouse for $142. It was collapsible to protect all these plants that were even in Texas, they were dying in the winter, and they were costing a lot of money. So you can save money by potting roses or the perennial miniatures, because they make it. You know, I started leaving these roses outside, and then they just would come back. So that is an excellent choice to put in a container. Now, of course, they lose their leaves in the winter. I mean, they'll lose their leaves. They look like they look dead because they're just like anything else. They lose their leaves, and then they leaf out in the spring. That was a long answer to that question, wasn't it?
Well, on that note, it was a lot of very valuable information. But Susan, as always, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. And if you could just take a moment and share your website with our audience, that'd be great.
My website is www.gagasgarden.com. It's GAGASgarden.com, and there's a lot of answers to question there, and there's some funny posts because I get kind of carried away with how funny I think some of the things that I had when I moved up here. I got a few things that I had run into in Texas, so there's a few things. I get real passionate about roses, and I get tickled about some things about roses too. So.
Well, that's why we love talking to you. And folks, thank you so much for tuning in. This has been June Stoyer with the Organic View Radio Show. Have a great afternoon, everyone.
Thanks for having me, June.